You're listening to the Simply Lived In podcast, episode number 9. Today we get to chat with Kelly LaFerrier. Kelly spends her days exploring ways to be an ethical and sustainable consumer, and she shares all of that on her blog, The Goodware. Kelly is so passionate about the power of good products, and I can't wait for you to hear what she has to say about changing your mindset about clothing, the push for transparency from clothing brands, and letting go of convenience.
You're listening to the Simply Lived In podcast, where we understand that needing less helps us to be so much more. Entrepreneur and sustainability advocate, Meg Ross, will help you to break down how to create more space in your life. Get ready to hear from strong women who are redefining what living well looks like. If you've dreamed of being present, cutting the clutter, and putting an end to the busyness, this is the place to be. Here's your host, designer, motivator, and simplicity enthusiast, Meg Ross.
Hello, Simply listeners. Today, I'm so excited to be talking to Kelly LaFerrier. Kelly is a self-proclaimed advocate for the ethical and sustainable fashion industry. She created the Goodware blog to help us explore ways to be responsible consumers through transparency, creativity, and style. Thank you so much for being here with us today, Kelly.
I'm very excited to be here.
So to dive in, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your journey towards this blog that you've started to help educate people about ethical fashion?
Definitely. So I'm located in Richmond, Virginia, and ended up here after growing up in Charlottesville, Virginia, to go to school. I went to Virginia Commonwealth University and studied fashion merchandising. I'd always grown up kind of desiring to work in fashion. I didn't know what that looked like, but loved being inspired by clothing, color, creativity in that space. And so I went into school with an open mind, didn't know what I was going to get into, and learned a lot about the industry, a lot about the behind the scenes. And when I came out of school, I kind of was at a point where I knew I wanted to be involved with ethical fashion in some way. At that point in time, I had just learned about fair trade. I was very interested in Patagonia and what they were doing, and just evolved in what I was learning and researching in that time period. Got a couple jobs outside of school in Richmond. Ended up staying here after that, after graduating, and kind of just was in a searching period of what I wanted to do, and was at a point where I was not happy with my full-time job and wanted to be creative and get to share something that I was passionate about, which was this field of ethical fashion and being able to talk through ways we can be more conscious with our style and purchases and how we can get to know new brands that are doing these amazing things and giving back to global communities. And so the blog was created as a side project to kind of meet those needs and wanting to share this part of what I wanted to do long term. And the outcome has been amazing. There has been so many great conversations that have come from it, with people either not knowing anything about this ethical fashion industry to people who are experts who have been doing it way longer than I have. So it's been so exciting. And now I'm here today and getting to continue being creative and sharing the story.
I love that. And you are so amazing at just lifting these brands up. Every feature that I read of yours, I immediately just like want to buy all the pieces that you're advocating for because they're such great labels. And so how do you find these labels that you feature, and what are some of your requirements, or if you have any requirements, I'm not sure, but how do you kind of choose what labels you want to promote?
Discovering the brands have kind of happened over time. A lot of them I've kind of started following along with through Instagram. That's been a huge tool. And once you kind of know one, you'll learn about five others just because of how that community gets behind each other and encourages each other and empowers the communities that they're working with, which I think is amazing. And so typically with brands that I'll want to work with or want to share about to tell their stories are those that are working towards ethics within their supply chain, which means that they are conscious of how their clothing is produced from a fiber to the actual garment that we wear. So it's knowing where that comes from. It's knowing who are the hands behind our clothes. So are they getting paid fairly? Are they in safe working conditions? Do they have a living wage and how they can support their families long term? Those are kind of factors that I look for when I want to share stories. As well, on the other side, is are they environmentally conscious? Are they working towards new ways to decrease carbon footprint? And so many brands are taking both of those into consideration, which is amazing. And it's such a big venture for everyone, but with those factors, transparency is key. It's so important because that conversation is what starts this initial desire to change our shopping habits. And so if brands are being transparent, we can be transparent as consumers.
I agree completely. And like you kind of were touching on, I think a lot of that transparency is going to have to come from a demand from the consumer, which we already are kind of seeing, especially with movements like the fashion revolution and things like that, where people are starting to ask questions about their clothing. And I had seen something you wrote about the slow food movement and how people are, you know, kind of previously had just begun like asking like, what's in our food? Is this good for us? And asking all these questions about the origin of the food. And then now that's kind of, and I'm saying, and now like this is a new thing, but it's not really, because people have been asking these questions for a while, but about our clothing and is it good for us and how is it made and all these sorts of questions that people maybe weren't asking before.
Definitely. And just looking at the time frame of these factors being brought up, it is so in sync to the revelations that people were coming to from the time period when food was starting to be questioned of sourcing and is this actually good for you? And so this is now coming to the fashion side because we put clothes on our bodies and what goes on our bodies matters and the people behind our clothes matter. And so this movement, yes, isn't new, but this revival of people being compassionate and wanting to know a little bit more is kind of what's bringing it to light.
Yes, completely. And along with transparency, the consumer mindset is another really important aspect, I think, of this whole movement. And yes, we need to have brands that are transparent, but we also need to have consumers who have a little bit different mindset about their clothing and who are willing to invest in these, you know, higher quality, better made garments. Whereas right now, there's still a really big push from advertising and marketing to make us feel like we need more to be fulfilled. Mm-hmm. So what are some ways that you try to combat that when you're educating people about the potential of having less clothing that is maybe more intentional?
Definitely. And that's a great point because I definitely resonate with the fact that as consumers, our habits have to change as well. And it's not just from the brands, it's from us as well. And so the Goodwear was created primarily as an education tool to start conversations and to spur on small mindset switches when you go into a store, whether it's a fast fashion store or an ethical store, and kind of rethinking the way that we treat our purchases in our closets. Just knowing that when we go to purchase something, changing the mindset that if it's in trend that season, then we need to buy it versus do I have another item that is this exact same match or is similar in my wardrobe already and do I need another one? So it's these small switches to just make us think a little bit more and make us want to challenge ourselves with our money and what we put in our bodies and what we have in our wardrobe.
I think that's great. And something that a lot of people don't consider is how many different seasons there are now in retail. I saw something you posted that I've heard before too, that there's 52 seasons or more than that of releases of brands. And there used to be only four a year, you know, one for each season. And just kind of the continuous push of product and advertising, I think really speaks to what fast fashion is and how it's completely infiltrated how we currently buy our clothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's definitely a crazy amount of turnover within brands to provide newness to their customers, because that's what customers expect at this point. But with that, now it's coming to light with so much information and so many people talking about this, of the amount of waste that's being produced because of these 52 seasons a year rather than four. Because with these 52 seasons, these clothes are getting worn a couple times, thrown away, even if there's a small tear or button loss that could be repaired, it is being tossed because our clothes are not treated as investments or items that can be cared for long term. Because back when four seasons was typical, we used to treat our clothes a lot differently. So it is a huge issue when we look at how fashion has evolved in general. And so us as small individuals within the industry just have to look for small ways that we can impact, you know, our immediate communities, and see different ways that we can challenge each other to be a little bit smarter and conscious of the sustainable issues that are happening.
Exactly. And speaking to the waste part of it too, you know, with all these synthetic fabrics, it can take up to 30 to 40 years for some of these things to sit in a landfill. Whenas some natural, and a lot of, not all ethical labels, but a lot of ethical labels focus on more natural fabrics that can decompose a lot more quickly. And, you know, there also are more sustainable recycled materials. There's a lot that's being done along those lines as well. But just the simple switch to more natural fibers could really save a lot of waste. And it's interesting because, you know, people in their minds can say, oh, I really want, you know, I would pick natural over synthetic fibers in my t-shirt. But if they tried those tops on, you know, they like the properties that come with a synthetic t-shirt because it's softer, it doesn't wrinkle or all these things, mm-hmm. you know, because it's been engineered to be better kind of in a way for the consumer, but it's much more wasteful.
Right. Definitely. And so a lot of brands have been trying to figure out ways to reuse those materials because they do break down differently. Even if, you know, they are in a landfill, there is a chance that cotton will break down and a synthetic polyester shirt will not. And that impacts kind of what's going on in our earth. And, you know, another issue along with that is the water production. And so with these switches comes a lot of different ways that we want to shape the industry. But it comes from home. It comes from us being conscious and aware. A lot of people don't realize the fabric content that we have in our clothes. And so the first step would be really to understand the type of fabrics we're wearing and see the differences and maybe research, whether it's a blog or a brand, on how we can be a little bit more educated on what we're wearing.
Exactly. So what's the process that you personally go through before you buy a new clothing item?
Good question. I don't necessarily buy a lot. I try to limit my purchases to something that has been on my mind for a period of time, so it fills a need in my wardrobe. Because I used to be a shopper that would go to the sales sections in these stores that had sales every week and buy in abundance versus buying smartly. And a lot of those items that I bought in abundance, I don't wear anymore. And I'm looking for ways to be able to reuse those or swap with other people, or sell consignment so they can still be in circulation. So now when I look to shop, it's always, it's either secondhand so local. Here in Richmond, we have a lot of vintage and consignment stores, and I always look there, one, for affordability, but two, because these items are already produced and need a new home. And then on the other hand, if I'm buying new, it will be through brands that I know and have researched. And so I take time to kind of, it's been years in the making, but get to know the brands that I can rely on, and I know that they're making strides within the industry, and I'll choose the styles that I feel like are missing in my wardrobe, whether it's workwear or everyday wear or an event. And it does take time. It has to be an item that's on my mind for a couple weeks to be kind of pulling the purchase, because a lot of the styles that we see in the ethical fashion world are a little bit higher price range than we typically would view as affordable in this day and age. So whether it's like a $160 shoe versus probably a $30 shoe we could get in the mall. But we have to treat those purchases differently. It's an investment piece. It's one that you know that's going to last for a long period of time, and one that could be versatile with what you have in your wardrobe. And that's what I focus on.
Yes. And something that you actually, I read in one of your posts about a higher price point ethical shoe, about how you can reframe your mindset about that shoe to see if it's a good purchase for your lifestyle or not. And one thing that you said that I loved was you said, calculate the cost per wear. And then that might help you reframe your mindset about how affordable the shoe actually is for your life.
Definitely. There's this kind of frame of mind that people talk about is, can you at least get 30 wears out of the item that you want to purchase? And if you can, then that is a smart purchase. And if you can break that down in dollar amounts, that will probably make more sense for us as individuals to make that purchase. And so to frame it like that, it just feels way more valuable and way more intentional rather than an impulse buy.
Yes. And that's something too that I've been learning more and more as I curate my own wardrobe and reduce waste in other aspects of my life is being intentional and being prepared. So I loved what you said about thinking about an item that you want and not just buying it right away, but kind of just letting it sit there and, you know, think about it in your brain. What do you really want? Where would you use it? How would you use it? So then when you go to make that purchase, it's not an impulse buy. It's something you're really going to love, and you're still going to love it a month later because you've been thinking about it for a month.
Definitely. Yes. It's that mindset switch.
Exactly. And something else that I love is just the resources that are out there. So there's blogs like yours that have already done all of the research for you as far as, you know, you've said you go and you research the products and stuff. And it's amazing that there's people like you doing that. So people like me can just come and read it and be like, oh my gosh, look at all these amazing things about this product. Or, you know, maybe I don't like that one, but I love this. And it just, for people who are new to it or even not new to it, but just looking for a reliable, easy source of information, I think it's great.
Yes. And I want to be that resource for people if they need it, to be able to come and make it easy, because I know that this is not an easy process to switch from something of such convenience to something that takes a little bit more time. And that is a hard switch when we have so many other things going on in our lives. But I think going back to the food movement, we now know that the intentional time that we put in to double check our food, shop local, eat better diet in general, benefits long term. And that's the same with our purchases of our wardrobe. It's going to benefit long term, and it's going to benefit not only ourselves, but others in the industry.
I love that. And the convenience thing, that is so big. I've learned, you know, that a lot of waste is from convenience, because we've been trained that, you know, we as a society right now, I think, have a very specific idea of what how we can spend our time valuably, is that a word? And it's just, it's not preparing good food or researching good ethical labels to buy our clothing from. It's, you know, working 12 hours a day or whatever the rise and grind mentality is, so we can buy more stuff. It just, it's really counterintuitive to what I've found actually makes me happy.
Definitely agree with that. It is just ingrained in us as a society now with convenience. You know, our food's convenient, transportation's convenient. And so clothes obviously have to be convenient for people to like be able to do what they feel like they need to do. And I think all of that needs to switch a little bit more to be more mindful and be more present in this day and age. And that's what people are searching for in general. We just have to provide ways for them to achieve it.
Yes, I love that. So what is on the horizon for you and for Goodwear? Do you have any projects coming up or goals that you're looking to meet as you continue down this journey?
Yeah, so with the blog, I want to continue putting out content that helps educate the consumer, whether that be brands to know, facts to know about the industry, as well as places to shop around the world. I definitely want to jump into a little bit more local and create some guides for people, whether they're traveling or in locations, to make shopping easier for them at home. And then on the other side, here in Richmond, I've partnered up with a couple of ladies to create a group called the Ethical Style Collective. And with this group, we are doing events and raising awareness about ethical fashion here in our city, to spread the conversation and hopefully eventually work towards textile recycling within our homes. So we want to provide options for people to get rid of old clothes they don't want to wear in responsible ways so they don't end up in a landfill. So those are kind of the two big projects that I'll be working on over the next couple of months. It's very exciting, kind of daunting because it is a little bit unknown on how to do that the best way. But there are so many people around this country and around the world that are doing amazing things that we can use as examples, whether it's textile recycling or creating ethical clothing, partnering with amazing global organizations that are giving back. So there's so many people to look to, which I am excited to be a part of that community.
I love that. Both of those are just, I think there's such a need for that. And I just love what you're doing. And I love how there are people doing it, but there needs to be more people. And myself as an ethical brand, you know, I feel like I'm this young ethical brand and I'm like, there's all these other brands and can I really bring something new? And that's such a destructive mindset for me to get into. Like I have this fear in my head that I can't bring something valuable to the conversation. And I just think that is so bad to believe that lie. And so I love that you are just pushing, breaking through that, you know, and you're finding these ways to learn from people that are already doing it and then to just make that momentum even stronger.
Definitely. And, you know, being alongside of you in kind of being a fish in a big pond, we can learn from so many other people, but we also are all connecting to different people in different ways. You're going to reach so many different people that I would never reach. And so to be able to spread those values and mission is what it's all about. And, you know, I think a lot of people within this industry are all about collaboration over competition, which is so valuable in being able to communicate the importance of the why that we're doing what we're doing. And so it is so exciting and I'm excited to see what you do with your brand. Yeah, it's just a great mission to be behind.
I agree completely. So if people are loving what we're talking about and wanting to get more of the Goodwear blog, where can they find you online?
You can find me at thegoodwear.com. And also, I am over on Instagram at the Goodwear blog and Pinterest as well.
Great. Well, thank you so much. I so enjoyed our conversation today and it was great talking with you.
Thank you so much, Meg.
Thanks for listening to to the Simply Lived In podcast. Dive into show notes for this episode and all past episodes at simplylivedinpodcast.com. If you love the show, please share with your friends. Help us to spread the power of simplicity. Thanks for listening, and until next time, keep up your quest for less.